All right, welcome to episode 386 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. Let us pray. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the grace to see a new day. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives. In any way we have sinned or erred, we pray for your forgiveness, oh God. Please cleanse our hearts and let our hearts be prepared to receive your truth this morning. And give us the grace to not just be hearers only, but also doers of your word. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So today, we're going to continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit. This is probably going to be the last part of the series. So anchor scripture so far has been taken from the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Right? He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." I'm reading from the King James Version. Temperance, against such there is no law. So we've done all eight except one, right? We've done eight of them. So there's nine things here, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, right? The last episode we did was on meekness. Now, so they were doing temperance. Many people know temperance as self-control. Actually, many parts of the Bible, many translations discuss it as self-control, right? So self-control, right? So the first thing you want to establish in your mind is that you cannot control yourself by yourself. So self cannot be controlled by self. No, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the help of God. You need the help of God, right? And for a good example of self-control from the Bible, look at Joseph and Potiphar's wife, right? Potiphar's wife was tempting Joseph, said, "Sleep with me." And Joseph ran away, right? So the thing is, it is possible to overcome sin. It is possible to overcome temptation. It is possible to become self-controlled, but you need the help of God. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Right? So what does it mean to be self-controlled? To be self-controlled means to say no to self and its desires and to say yes to God and His will. That's a nice simple definition there. To say no to self and its desires and to say yes to God and to His will. That's self-control, right? The Bible says, I believe in the book of Luke chapter 9 verse 27, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." Right? And the thing is, self-control is not something you just practice for a season. It has to be a lifestyle. It has to be a lifestyle. It has to be a lifestyle. Like literally, this is fruit of the Spirit. Like when you see self-control in a person's life, right? It's a reflection of who is on the inside, right? If it's the Holy Spirit that's guiding their actions, right? Although there are people that are very self-controlled that do not know the Lord, right? So again, remember, all this fruit, it will never come if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ first. You got to surrender your life to the Lord first. If not, this fruit will not come through, right? So it's very important, right? So like this fruit, a seed has to have been sown in you for you to express fruit. Well, that seed is surrendering your life to Jesus. And if you want to know more about that, listen to episodes 254 and 287 on the website. It tells you about the true cost of following Jesus. If you do make a decision for Jesus, which by the way, is the best decision you can ever make in your life, then at the end of 254, episode 254, there's an opportunity for you to say a prayer with me to surrender your life to the Lord, right? So again, self-control is saying no to self and its desires and saying yes to God and His will, right? And basically, like, self-control boils down to, who is the God of your life? Is God, capital G, is God the God of your life, or is self the God of your life? Are you controlled by your desires? Are you controlled by your flesh? A person that is ruled by their desires, that is ruled by their flesh, is not a self-controlled person. But a person that is ruled by God's will, right, is a self-controlled person, right? So what rules your heart? What rules your life? What rules your thoughts? What rules your actions? What rules your speech, right? Because again, the thing is, the natural state of man is to just go with what I want to do. Right? Hey, I want to do what I want to do. I want to eat as much as I want. I want to do this. I. Right? But if I is your king, then you cannot live a self-controlled life. And honestly, you cannot be a Christ follower if I is your king. You can only be a Christ follower if you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and God is your king. Again, the Bible makes this dichotomy about the narrow road and the broad road, right? So there's the narrow road that leads to life, that many few people take, and the broad road that leads to destruction that many people take, right? So there's a big difference between those two roads, right? There is a big difference between those two roads, right? There's a big difference between Sorry, give me a quick moment here. There's a big difference between those two roads. Sorry, just a little bit of a personal emergency, right? So there's a big difference between those two roads. There's the narrow road that leads to life that few people take, and there is a broad road that leads to destruction that many people take, right? Many people, they take that broad road, right? Because again, that's the natural state of man. Just do what you want. I, right? But submitting to another, in this case, God, is difficult, right? But that's the narrow road, right? And the Bible talks about the narrow gate and the narrow way, right? That's one thing many people miss out on in that portion of scripture. It's not just a gate. There's a narrow gate and a narrow way, right? So, you know, the narrow gate, you know, not just giving your life to the Lord, but the narrow way, that means living that lifestyle of being a Christ follower, right? So that's really important to keep in mind, right? So again, say no to self and his desire, say yes to God and his will, right? And what is another facet of self-control? Well, it's just being moderate, practicing moderation in all things, showing restraint, pressing the brakes, right? Because the thing is, we live in a world where an indulgent lifestyle is heavily promoted, right? Excess, right? Food. There is an overabundance of food. You can go to McDonald's and just eat. You know, even the portion sizes are huge and massive these days, right? You go on TV, you know, before maybe you had, you know, back in the day, maybe there were 10 TV stations you could watch. But these days, there's an almost unlimited number of movies, right? Like you see like these apps like Netflix and stuff. You can scroll for a long time and you almost don't even run out of stuff to watch, right? So we live in a world where even more self-control is required these days, you know, a really indulgent world, a really decadent world, right? And the thing is, again, those things are not compatible with being a Christ follower. That's the truth, right? So it's really hard to live as a Christ follower if you don't practice self-control. It's just really, really difficult. It's just really, really difficult, right? And honestly, it's really, because again, look at that denying self, taking up your cross daily and following Christ. That's like denying self. That's like saying that, hey, I need to be self-controlled. I cannot let self, I cannot get let my feelings, I cannot let my emotions, I cannot let my desires control what I do, right? So again, it's very important to keep that in mind. And the thing is, again, it's really hard to become God's plan for your life if you're not self-controlled, right? Daniel and his three friends, if you read the book of Daniel chapter 1, the Bible says that they basically, you know, had vegetables and water while the others were eating from the king's table. Right. But again, at the end, that period of training, that period of self-control, at the end, they were 10 times better. Right. The Bible talks about how in all matters of learning and wisdom, they were basically 10 times better than their peers. Right. The thing is, self-control is so rare these days, but the outcome of it is very spectacular. Right. In fact, like people that practice self-control these days, they shine brighter than even back in the day, because these days so many people are completely uncontrolled, right? So many people don't even practice temperance, right? So when you find the rare person that practices self-control, they really stand out. They really, really stand out, right? I mean, look at what the Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 1 verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm, right? That were in all his realm. He found them to be 10 times better, right? Self-control is required if you want to achieve anything that the Lord has in store for you, right? Anything the Lord has in store for you. And there is this verse of scripture I really want to read because I think that this is extremely important. I think that this is extremely important. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. It says, know ye not, again, I'm reading from the King James Version. Okay, I guess let me read from the New King James, New King James Version. Let's do the New King James Version, right? So it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. You see that word temperance coming up again? Is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. right? There's a lot of very useful things about self-control from this reading, right? And one of them is that a person that is self-controlled lives life with a purpose, right? A person that is self-controlled lives life with a purpose, right? A self-controlled life is a purposeful life. They are not just doing things based on just, well, let me see where the wind takes me. No, they are very, a self-controlled person is very purposeful in the way they live their lives, right? I fight not as one that beats the air, right? And the thing is, see, don't think that you've ever achieved expertise, right, in self-control, right? The thing is, you can still fall away, right? You can still fall away. You can still fall away. You've not, you don't graduate from self-control, right? Everybody needs to be self-controlled, right? Until you meet the Lord in glory. Because look at Paul saying that, hey, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified, right? Because it's like the fact that you're a preacher doesn't mean that, oh, I'm self-controlled. I'm good. No. You can still be disqualified, right? And look at what he said, you know, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The thing is, the fact that you're a preacher doesn't mean anything. You can still be disqualified. You can still be disqualified, right? You can still be disqualified, right? There are many people that are supposedly big people in the kingdom of God, right? Big people in the kingdom of God that have fallen apart, that have fallen from the way, right? So be very careful about that, please. Be very, very careful about that, right? Don't think that you've ever gotten too big. No, you've not gotten too big. You can fall. David was a king. He fell, right? So look at this. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified, right? You can be the preacher. You can be the teacher and you still get in trouble, right? You can be the preacher. You can be the teacher, right? And still get in trouble. And still get in trouble. And still get in trouble. And still get in trouble, right? So please be very careful, right? Because this is something that many people fall for, right? They just think that, I've done this for years, so I can never fall again. No. You can absolutely fall, right? You can absolutely fall. You can absolutely fall, right? So please be careful about that. Be careful about that. All right. Now, next thing I want to go to here is, so how do you become self-controlled? How do you become self-controlled, right? How do you become self-controlled? Well, the very first part is you need the Spirit of God, right? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, right? So you need the Spirit of God to help you to be self-controlled. Without the help of the Spirit of God, you cannot be self-controlled. All right. So again, because some people just think that, oh, I'm just going to put in sheer willpower. No, sheer willpower can only take you so far. It can only take you so far. All right. Now, another thing about self-control or to be self-controlled or to be temperate is to run away, right? Run away. Be like Joseph. Joseph left his amazing coat behind and left his jacket behind and ran away, right? You see, some people, because they don't want to lose certain things, they hang around things that can destroy them. Right? Because they don't want to lose certain things, they hang around things that can destroy them, that can destroy them. Right? So run away, run away, run away, run away. Right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 22 says to flee from every appearance of evil. Right? So even if something is not necessarily evil, but it looks like evil, get away from it. Literally, get away from it. Right? Because again, those things that look like sin can sometimes ultimately lead to sin. Right? So if you know that, man, okay, this thing really tempts me, just get away from it. Run away from it. Run away from it. Even if it seems like you're losing something. Because that's one thing that many times that thing you lose is better to lose that thing than to lose yourself, than to lose your salvation. Right? So run away from those things. Run away from those things. You know, there are some people where like, it's like, oh, there is a specific show that they really, really love. They really, really love that show. But to watch that show, they have to subscribe to something that is like a hotbed of iniquity, right? A hotbed of iniquity. So sometimes that show you really love that may not get you in trouble, you may have to like lose that so that you don't lose your salvation, right? You don't lose your salvation. You know, you don't lose your salvation. So just be careful, right? It's better. The Bible says, talks about how it's better for you to walk into heaven with one eye, right, than to go to hell with both eyes, basically, right? So it's just very important to keep that in mind, right? Be willing to lose certain things that seem very good, right? But take your salvation as being more worth it than those temporary things, right? Those temporary things. And then another way you can grow in temperance and in self-control is to be careful of your speech, right? Literally, whittle down your words. If you look at the book of James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says that the person that controls their tongue, the same is a perfect man. The same is literally a perfect man. The same is literally a perfect man, right? I'm telling you this, one hallmark of a person that is self-controlled is that they are very quiet people. I'm not saying they don't speak. They speak, but they speak with purpose. Remember what I said earlier about a person that is self-controlled being purposeful. When people are self-controlled, they are purposeful about pretty much everything they do, even their speech. Before they speak, they think. Before they act, they think. Before they do, they think, right? They even think about their thoughts. They are very, very purposeful in the way that they live, right? I'm telling you this, if you live a purposeful life, you're likely living a self-controlled life, right? You know, many people have read the Bible verse that says, be angry and sin not. One of the best strategies to be angry and sin not is to keep your mouth shut when you're angry, right? Keep your mouth shut when you're angry, right? In fact, let's look at the book of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. I think this is a very important section of scripture for highlighting certain things that are really important, right? So Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, he says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back, right? Holds them back. Be quiet, be calm. Be quiet, be calm. Be quiet, be calm. Be sober, right? Sober, right? You're being purposeful in your emotions. You're being purposeful in your feelings, right? You're like, hey, instead of being like, oh, right? I'm going to be sober. I'm going to be calm, right? I'm going to be sober. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be sober. I'm going to be calm, right? And then another element of being self-controlled is being productively engaged. Being productively engaged, right? The thing is, when you have a routine, when you have a schedule of productivity and you stick to it, right? You're less likely to fall into no self-control. Right? No self-control, right? Because that's the thing, right? Like when you just have like no plan for life, like, let me tell you this, guys, even your leisure, you need to plan it out. Even your leisure, you need to plan it out, right? If you just kind of be like, okay, you know what, from 7 p.m., I'm just going to relax. That's not smart, right? Even your relaxation has to be purposeful. If not, right, you're just not going to be growing in self-control. You're just not going to be growing in self-control, right? And when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then you will not be doing what you're supposed to not be doing. I'm going to say that again. When you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you will not be doing what you're not supposed to be doing, right? Like if you look at the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 5, 2 Samuel 11 verses 1 to 5, talks about David and Bathsheba, right, that he committed adultery with. The Bible kind of kicks it off by saying that at the time when kings go to war, right, David was supposed to be in battle, not staying at home. Well, as he stayed at home, he saw Bathsheba, naked woman bathing, and the rest is history, as they say, right? So again, be productive, right? Be productively engaged, right? Even in your leisure, I'm not saying that in your leisure, you must be working hard and doing all these things, but plan out what you do in your leisure, right? Plan out what you do in your leisure, right? Schedules, routines, plans, being productive will really help with building up self-control, right? And then the next principle here are restrictions. Restrictions, right? The thing is, having caps, having boundaries prevent overindulgence, right? Again, decide things ahead of time. A person that is self-controlled, I think this is one of the core principles from today, is very purposeful, right? Is very purposeful. Have caps, have boundaries. These are very good ways to prevent overindulgence and decide these things ahead of time, right? Even your fun activities, decide ahead of time, right? Decide how much you're going to eat before you eat. Decide what you're going to watch before you watch, right? If not, you're going to doom scroll. You're going to doom scroll, right? Decide how much time you're going to spend on social media before you go on it, right? It's amazing how time gets away when a person is engrossed in indulgent activities, right? So don't decide based on feelings. Decide based on a budget. Budgeting is a very great way to build moderation. Budgeting is a very great way to build moderation. If you look at the book of Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16, it says, have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit, right? Even good things can become a problem when you don't moderate, right? When you don't place caps around them, right? You cannot just take unlimited amounts of something. No, you will get sick from those things, right? The dose is I think there's this statement that the dose is the poison, right? The dose is the poison, right? So again, like, have caps, have boundaries on things. Have boundaries on things, right? So don't decide based on feelings, decide based on a budget, right? Planning and budgeting is one of the most effective tools of growing and being moderate, right? And then the next principle of, you know, growing in self-control is denying self, right? Again, the Bible says, if any man will come after me, right, let him deny himself. You need to live that life of self-sacrifice. The life of a Christ follower is a life of self-sacrifice, right? And again, just kind of going off of the principle I discussed before, this one I just discussed, is again, think and pause before you do things. Be purposeful. Think and pause before you do things. Think and pause before you do things, right? Think and pause before you do things. All right. Now, another principle is the mind, right? So be careful of what you let take root in your heart. Be careful of what you let take root in your heart. Like really, moderation, self-control, temperance, it begins in a person's mind, right? The Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 that Daniel proposed in his heart. He decided in his heart, right? The thing is, many times your heart is what controls your life. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it proceeds the issues of life. A person that is moderate, a person that is self-controlled, a person that is temperant, it starts in the mind. It starts in the mind, right? It starts in the mind, right? A person that is overindulgent, it also starts in the mind. A person that lacks moderation, it also starts in the mind, right? Again, be purposeful, right? All these things are linked together, right? The Holy Spirit is the driver of your mind, right? Your mind determines your thoughts. Your mind determines your actions. Your mind determines your character, right? And again, training, right? Again, I'm not saying that this is easy, right? That's why you need the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the grace of God, right? But the thing is, as you practice self-control more and more, you'll become more and more self-controlled. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word we have heard this morning. Give us the grace to not just be hearers alone, but also doers. Give us the grace to be self-controlled, to be moderate in all things, to be temperate. We cannot do this in our own strength, but we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. So the grace and the strength that we need, Father, please release unto us and please help us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So, until episode 387, have a wonderful day. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord strengthen you. Shalom.